We're here right now to worship the name of the Lord, to worship Him in His holiness, in His mighty strength. He's working today, not yesterday, but today in our hearts. If we'll just seek Him with all our heart and reach out and touch the hem of His garment, He's here for us. It only depends upon how much we want. So let's lift Him up. Let's praise Him. Let's lift Him up. Let's magnify Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Do you believe it? He's worthy of all praise. Oh, bless your holy name, Lord. Bless your holy name, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Woo. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God, you're worthy, Lord. Worthy, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, let me have a heart of thanksgiving towards you, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, hear His voice. Open our eyes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord.
Let's get our hearts open. Well, I feel the Lord here this morning. Brother Phil opened it up for us to worship the Lord. And he's worthy of our praise. I was sitting on ready anyway. Oh, yes. Lord, my heart is open. Won't you come inside? He's looking for an open door, isn't he? A place to come in. We know the Jewish people rejected him. He cried out to him. He called to him. But he's turned to the Gentiles now. Scripture says in Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the writer wrote, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you open up and let me in? Now, the Lord is a gentleman. Here's a story they told me when I first came to this people. He's a gentleman. He knocks at the door. He's got a set of keys. He could just come on in. But that's not his way. In his kind, gentle ways, you'll knock. He might even go around to a window. But it's up to you to let him in. And the locking mechanism works from the inside. You have to open up to him. Aren't you glad you open up to him one day? In this parable, I believe it's in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, God sent out some invitations. Said, hey, I'm going to have a wedding. And you're all invited. And some of them said, well, I'm so busy. I bought a herd of cattle and I got to go check on them. I got married. Just various things. And he didn't like that response. So he told the mailman, he said, take this letter and these invitations and go out into the highways and hedges and see how they respond. And I happened to be out there. And here I am. He invited me to his kingdom one day. Aren't you glad you got an invitation? I was thinking the other day how wonderful it is when I get up of a morning. I just want to give you a little bit of my testimony. I can't get started on doing anything until I sit down. And Sister Bryant, I got this from dear old Brother Whitlow. I need to get a hold of God. So I knock on his door. You can knock on the Lord's door. You know that? These people taught me that. Yeah, you can call on the Lord. Many of the old prophets in cold dungeons and prisons got a hold of God. So I got a hold of the Lord for my needs. Many of you, I've heard you knocking. I even help you. Like, for instance, Sister Watson is in need today. We're helping knock on the Lord's door, petitioning something for her. We have a great need before us today. But I believe God. I believe God hears this people's prayers. Let's continue knocking on the Lord's door. Let's continue appreciating that wonderful invitation that we received to come to the kingdom of heaven. Then we got a gift, didn't we? Yeah, we got a gift. Wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. You know of any other gift that a man can receive that's greater than a gift from God? I appreciate the road to salvation, the invitation that I received to come to God's house. I was running. I didn't want anything to do with God. But he called my name one day. And in my morning devotions, I go way back and say, Lord, I thank you that you chose a junkie like me and you touch my life. We sang that chorus from time to time. He touched me. Oh, he rattled my house. He shook my doors until it wasn't funny. I felt like I was in handcuffs. Had an experience on the job. Those of you that know my testimony, and the young man was going to church here. He and I, well, it was me, really. I was out of my mind that particular morning. I'm sure if he had left home and God had told him, hey, you're going to experience some trouble today, so I just want to pre-warn you that a young man's going to approach you and threaten to whoop you, he probably wouldn't have came to work. But he showed up for work, and Bill Daniels told him, hey, man, before this day is over with, me and you're going to have to fight. I'm going to give you an attitude adjustment. I was troubled. End of the shift, he come to me and he said, I'd like to apologize for what took place today. He didn't do anything wrong. It was me. I was in the wrong. But yet he said, I'd like to apologize, and I'm a Christian and I don't fight. Yeah. I see how you're getting out of it. Yeah, it's kind of wimpy. But I shook his hand, said, okay. You know, after that evening, for 3 days, I felt like the Lord had his hand on my shoulder. I said, I want you to go to him and ask him if he really knows God. And I talked back to the Lord. I said, oh, no. You're not going to do me like that. After threatening to whoop a man, then you gonna go? You want me to go to him and ask him if he really knows Jesus? Ooh, Brother Durham, I wanted to run, but where was there to go? God had his hands on my shoulders, so I told you what to do. Finally, about the third day, I was under so much pressure that I did. I went to him in tears. I said, say, man, you got to tell me something. Do you really know God? And brother, you talk about unloading on me. He didn't try to scare me, but he told me about the love of God in so many ways I couldn't tell you. Oh, Jesus, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he was filled with the Holy Ghost and had a lot of mercy. Wow, encouraged to face me too. I know when he saw me coming, he probably thought, oh, man, here comes trouble. Here he comes again. But I came to him with tears in my eyes. And that day began my walk with the Lord. But I wasn't acquainted with him. I latched onto a scripture after I got here and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Job in his writings in Job 21 and 22, somewhere in there, said, acquaint thyself with him and thereby be at peace. When I got acquainted with him, Brother John, then I felt the peace of God in my life. We sang that old chorus years ago. He's everything, they told me. He's everything and more. Tell me some more about Jesus. Yes. Brother Smith wants to use that theme, a logo, for this youth meeting coming up. Do you know him?
Do you know him?
Do you know him? Yeah. Have you got acquainted with him? Have you had a relationship with him? Has he become your pride and joy? Has he become the love of your soul? He wants to come in. He wants to be invited. Lord, my windows are open. I was saying about getting storm windows, but I'm going to leave them like they are. So if a storm oh, yeah, the winds will blow, but our life is to be founded on the rock of our salvation. He's everything, they told me. I appreciate him. I appreciate getting acquainted with him. Oh, yes. Do you know him today? Paul, in his writing, said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Just a verse down, it said also in the sufferings. Is it sufferings? Someone help me. In the fellowship of his suffering. Brother Durham, we got on that this morning. Also, with the fruits of the Spirit, we got on suffering quite a bit. We're to suffer for the Lord, regardless of how it comes. Scripture says in Thessalonians, if we reign with him, we're going to suffer with him. Regardless of how it comes, he is able to bring us to that place today. We're to be a suffering people. Heard a little chorus years ago over in Oklahoma City. Do you know what it means to live holy? Do you know what it means to live right? Do you know what it means to suffer, then to gain eternal life? Let's go with the Lord today. Let's trust him. Let's put all of our confidence and faith in him today. We're getting to know the Lord. We're getting acquainted with him. I don't know him fully all the way. I know that by getting acquainted with him, beginning to learn of his ways and to become like him. I used to sit on the front row pews listening to these people when I was brand new in this church. Man, these people sure want to be like Jesus. I'm glad I stayed around, Sister Donna. Sister Ann, good to see you today. I see you got your word up in front of your face. Keep it there. Yes, a light into your path. Good to see you today, too. So we're here today to lift up that wonderful name of Jesus, aren't we? We're getting ready for a great youth meeting. Hoping God will bless our youth. But I started the other day. I said, I'm going to do some research on what it means to know the Lord. And I can't share it all with you today because I don't have it all together like I want it. But that's my thought, too. I'm going to back up and support Brother Smith. And do you know him today? And that one scripture come to me, well, a couple of others. But get acquainted with the Lord today. I thought that's what we're doing today. We're getting acquainted with all of his ways. Want to be wonderful when we can say we've done those things that please the Lord fully? That's what we're trying to do today. The Lord told me the first service I was in that I've brought you to a sincere people. And brother, you've proved it over the years. I know we've had some to come and go, but the big portion, you still want to go with God. You still want to reach out and touch him. Oh, yes. Let me take you back to last Wednesday night. Brother Caleb won't get too big over this, but I appreciated his testimony. And Brother Joseph, too. You know what I heard in their testimonies? This is not just a preference, this church, but this is my conviction. Yeah. We got to take a stand for something. Yeah, they don't care about you seeing them take a stand for that. I had some experiences like that. I used to work a lot overtime when I was working for General Electric. And you know, I had a boss that treated me like a Hebrew slave. And when he come to me, say, Doug, can you work a couple of hours trying to be a little meek and humble? I said, well, man, I got church tonight. Oh, is that all? And I begin to notice, Sister Brown, that I thought, I'm going to get a package ready for you. But I noticed when I decide to get a package ready for him and tell him, say, don't do me that way. Here's what I noticed. He didn't say that to the guys when he went to them. Hey, John, can you work overtime? Man, this is my bowling night. Get on away from here. Well, they took a stand for that. But he wanted to jump on my back because I said, I'm getting ready to go to church tonight. So we take a stand. I appreciated those young men's testimony that my God comes first. yeah, sure. He's my homeboy. He'll make everything all right. Yeah, but you don't know the God I serve. You don't know him. You talk about him. You've never had an experience with him. You don't know what it means to be washed in his blood. You don't know what it means to seek after his wonderful ways and things that please him. You don't know what it means to be tested by the Lord and see if you're going to turn out to be. When I sit down in the mornings to talk to the Lord and get my directions, I don't take up no offerings. But old Dub try to sing sometime. And I sing, Lord, prepare me. That's what we're getting ready for. To be a sanctuary pure and holy, tried and true. That's what we want to be. That's what I heard in my ears when I first came to this people. You think I'm just still here because I just enjoy y'all so much? But I heard from the Lord, you can be like me. I asked a young man a couple of years ago that wanted to win me to his church. I started to tell him, if you give me the right answer, I'll go with you. But I thought, I better not do that. I said, but anyway, tell me something. What does your people teach? The meaning of, except you eat my blood. Drink my blood and eat my flesh. What do y'all teach that means? And brother, when he began to go on the cracker and a little sip of wine level, I said, I ain't going. Brother, I can't go with you. I said, but I appreciate you coming by, talking to me about the Lord. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues before you were born. So let's be friends to one another and holler at me from time to time. I couldn't go that route. But we're to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Pure and holy, tried and true. Brother Phil Fish asked me to get up and take prayer requests. I didn't mean to do all this, but I just had something on my heart today. Just wanted to deliver my mail, my little testimony, and encourage God's people that, hey, the bridge isn't falling down yet. The pathway to his kingdom is still open. Jesus is still at the well. Anyone need a drink? Old Dub stopped by one day, and I changed brands. I appreciate the door of salvation. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to praise him. There's power in praise today. There's power in salvation. Anyone got a request or a need today, Sister Donna? Okay, remember her mother today. Let's remember Sister Watson. Yes? Okay. She misses. Yeah. Let's pray. Okay. Let's do it. Let's pray, saints. Anyone else have a need today? Just remember Brother Smith, Sister Linda. Yes, Brother and Sister Crow. Let's keep praying for them. Brother Larry. Brother Josh. Okay. So remember them. Brother Keith. Okay. God will do it. He'll do it. Oh, okay. Maybe more. Okay. All right, then. Any other needs? Any other? Yes, Brother Johnson, his wife. Ray and Susan Weaver, we miss them today. Anyone else? Brother and Sister Tally out of town. I believe they're in the Tampa area. Yes, Sister Abraham always wants prayer for her family. Special unspoken from Brother Al. Okay. I believe we're going to have a good crowd. I really do. I'm preparing myself to get ready to greet God's people, God's young people. All right, let's stand then, and if the ushers would, we're going to receive an offering too. Oh, yes, but we appreciate our Heavenly Father today and for the wonderful benefits of God, the wonderful love He provides, the healing power of God that He provides for His children, for those that love Him. I have not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what things God has in store for those that love Him. We be that people that love God today. We're calling on Him. A healing for Sister Inez Watson today. Healing for His church. Healing for the people of God. Sister Donna's mother, may God give her a touch today. Touch our young people, oh God, that they'll hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for this meeting that's coming up. Hunger to know the Lord, oh God. Oh yes. To have a closer walk with Him. Oh yes, we do. God hears our prayers today. For Brother and Sister Crow, that God will help them, touch them today. My Jesus. Sister Linda and Brother Stan are taking a trip to be with her sister. May the healing hand of God go with them. We thank You, Lord, that we're sheltered in the arms of God. We have His love and care. We appreciate the wonderful things that salvation is bringing. The joy of salvation. We drink from the wells of salvation today. Oh, yes. Touch our youth men. My Jesus, our pastor, Brother Smith, while he's away working. We appreciate what God is going to do in this service today. What we might hear today coming from the Word of God. Bless Brother Phil Fisher today. Bless this congregation today, Lord. Help us to continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness. My Jesus, You've been so kind and so good to us. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God.
that brought back, and I thought, well, God, here again, it was brought back when Brother Daniels brought it up, and I thought, okay, I'll get up and brag on you again. I don't mind bragging on the Lord. And this particular time, Brother Joseph, I took a stand, but God, in other words, you cannot give the Lord. I went, it was a general or minister's meeting, I can't remember, because I know that I had to work breakfast Wednesday morning. It was a Wednesday morning, because that's the day that I go clean this one house. And I needed the money. You know, I there's no way about it. I need the money. But I said, Lord, I need to help. You know, I need to serve your people. I need to be here. I'm going to put you first. So, and I'm just going to, you know, I know you're going to take care of me. The next week, I go to work, and the man of the house hardly ever is there, but he met me at the door as he was going. He goes, I'm glad I caught you. He goes, I just want to give you this. He gave me double of what I would have got that week. And I said, oh my God, I started, you know, my tears. He goes, no, I don't mean to make you cry. I said, no. I said, thank you. I appreciate it. I said, God answered my prayer. And I said, you know, right away, you know, God showed me, you know, that there you can't go wrong putting God first. No way. And, you know, I'm just so excited. I mean, that's not the only time. I'm just saying, because he was at a meeting, you know, and about the idea about Brother Durham and Bible study about talking about tithing, you know, that I know I've been there, Brother Durham, about, oh, I can't because I can't give this money. I got these bills and blah, 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 you know, and it's like always hurting. But then when I started giving faithfully, it's like God always met the bills every time. So that's all I want to say. I'm so thankful to be here, thankful to be a part of the body, thankful that he saw something that was worth for him in his eyes. Thank you.
Appreciate how you called us to worship, Brother Phil. How you know, inspired us and encouraged us to get out of just the routine and the usual, oh yeah, thank you, Jesus, come in today, you know, go on with our business. But to really, really get our hearts and our minds on what we're doing and focus on that. And one statement you made, it was a question, if I say exactly right, you said, how much of a blessing do you want, or how much of God do you want? Remember which way it was, but anyway. And as soon as you said that, I thought about that, and I thought, I want more. You know, I mean, how many times do we settle? You know, I got to thinking, do you want a 10-minute blessing? Do you want, you know, do you want to stretch it out to 15 or 20? Do you want one of those that, you know, you hear people talk about? You know, they went home and the Spirit didn't leave them till the next day. And, you know, I mean, do you have something like that in mind? Is 10 minutes good enough? Is, you know, I thought I just want more. Whatever I have doesn't feel like enough. I just want more. I thought of that song, you know, I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I need more because there is more to deal with out in this world and in life. You know, the pressure's getting hotter, and you know, the world is growing colder and drifting further and further from God, and the roots and things that we took for granted. Even I, as a child, you know, most people were Christians, and you know, you could talk about things, and I mean. And now, it's just scary. You know, you don't know what you're going to run up against. And I thought, God, I need more. Whatever I've got is not enough. It's just not enough. I think that's what I need. You know, we need that thirst where it's just, it's never quenched. You know, we can't say it, okay, you know. How many times have you been in the middle of a blessing and go, okay, God, that's good. Thank you. You know. You usually, if I feel, you know, I'm like, oh man, is it going away already? You know? So that's all I could think of, you know, Brother Phil. But the way to do that is to keep seeking, you know, and is to keep that thirst alive. Because if you're not thirsty, you're not gonna seek. You're not gonna seek the water. You're not gonna want to drink, you know. So I want to keep that thirst alive. And keep seeking. And I'll tell you, it's been on my mind because going back to work full time this past year, it changes your time schedule. It changes a lot of things. And I was really feeling pretty good about myself. I was getting pretty much a routine on reading my Bible and, you know, all of that. And boy, that just changed all that. And the last month or so, I've thought, Lord, you know, this is not good. I've let that slide because, you know, other things, just stress and time, you know, everything, I've just let that go. And instead of when I need it more, really, I need more, you know, I need to be giving him, at the very least, not slack off, you know, at the very least, but keep giving him that time. Rather than, okay, God, I don't have time for you anymore now, but I need you to make up the difference and, you know, fill in. So I'm thankful. I appreciate the spirit here today and the words and just to be a part.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Testimony. Very encouraging.
Glory to God. Pray.
For so much. God has helped me and been so real to me this year in a way that he's not ever been in. Please don't put me up here. I just can't do that. I'm sorry. It distracts me. But God has been so real to me this year. And I was thinking about what you, Paul David, leaned over, and I just told him this morning. I said, when I went to bed last night, I had such a empty hunger, I guess is the way you describe it, feeling in my side. And I thought, you know, I was reading my Bible so faithfully for a while there. And since I started back to work, I've got involved, and I have not read it as faithfully, and I thought, God, I need to be doing that more often. It was like something inside of me saying, I need to be reading the Bible because I was getting so much from it. But I was thinking, and I cannot remember if I heard this statement made here in the last week or someone, I don't remember where I heard it, but someone was talking about when we ask God for something, you know, we tend to be pretty greedy, you know. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me this. I need this. I need that. Lord, if you'll just give me this. And this person that I heard said, when you ask God for something, you need to tell him what you're going to do with it. You know, if you ask God for a healing, what are you going to do for him? And I was listening to Inez the other day when we were praying for her, and she made this statement. She said, God, if you'll heal me, I won't let the rocks cry out. I won't let them cry out for me. She was telling him what she was going to do for him. And I thought, oh, some of the thoughts, the doubts that I've had this year was based on faith. And in the prayer meet and in the campground, one of the brothers brought a grain of mustard seed to the campground. Tiny, tiny. And the Bible tells us if we could just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could remove mountains. You know, and when you look at that seed, and then you see what we get accomplished, and I'm thinking, man, we have lousy faith. We really do. And when I think about what I went through this year, I think I've got a lot of faith, but believe me, I don't. I don't have that much faith, because it took a lot to do what I did, and I didn't move mountains, but God did. He did show me himself. He did show me how faithful he was to me. And I thought, Lord, and one of the things I told him when I was looking for a job, I said, God, I want a job that will not keep me out of church, because I want to be in church. Every time I can be in church, I'm going to be in church. And I'm trying to do that, because I've missed so much. I have missed so many things. I have missed so many lessons that I have a hard time piecing the puzzles together, because I don't know. I haven't heard it. And I've missed fellowshipping with the people of God. And I told Paul here a while back, I said, you know, it don't matter where you go at. If you're with God's people, it's not a waste of time. Not a waste of time. It don't matter what you're doing. If you're cleaning the kitchen, it's not a waste of time to be with God's people. And I am so thankful to be here today. I am so thankful that God loves me. I am so thankful that I know what I do know. I'm thankful for Brother and Sister Smith taking us on. They didn't have to. They took on a big load. You know, and I'm thankful that their hearts, Brother Lineker taught us that we had to have an enlarged heart, and I'm thankful that they had such an enlarged heart that they would take us in and take care of us and love us with all of our shortcomings, especially me, because I know I'm not always lovable. I'm a prickly pear sometimes. I'm hard to get to know, but I am so thankful. I am so thankful for this church and for what it means to me, for my history with this church, with my history, my family's history that has gone back years, even before I was even thought about, that has always somehow connected with some people that was in this group of people. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful for what God has done for me.
Brother Daniels, you was asking that question. Do you know him? You know. I'm sorry. Talking about, I believe, Brother Weidinger and I was talking a while ago. First off, let me try to connect on everybody. These miracles and the desire to put God first and grow with God. And do we know him? I say yes. I think that fire should get hotter and hotter. The older we get, brighter and brighter. And yes, the world's getting darker. A matter of fact, they showed me an article downstairs yesterday when we was working. The man of sin decided somehow, I don't know how he did that, probably through his own flesh, that God dealt with him to change the Ten Commandments. Now, ain't that a real howdy doody? They believe that man, the man of sin, the Antichrist, has the final say. But no, he don't go back as far as that word we're trying to stand on. Now, I know they'll accuse me. What is some of these accusations they'll accuse us of being a cult? Yeah, but you know what? I don't figure that's a bad word. That is short for culture. We are a different culture. We're pilgrims passing through. Now listen to a minister. I lost my thought there just for a second. Yeah, I was talking about we're a part of a culture. We're just pilgrims passing through. I'm listening to a minister. I don't know if I said this last time I got him talking or not. But he was talking about they got on a ship and they sailed across the Atlantic Ocean looking for a country where they could have freedom of religion. He said, we're going to get on an... Okay, now this man said this. He didn't know what he was saying. And I'll confess to you folks, I think I have this before. I talk to myself. I can't help it. I listen to people talk. And the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If it's inside, it comes out. He was talking about, he said, the day's going to come, we're going to get on another ship, and we're going to go looking for another land. And I listened to him, I thought, how stupid. And then it occurred to me, he was right. He didn't know what he was saying. But we're on that old ship of Zion. And we're looking for a country not made with hands. And we're going to try to gather as many people as we can on our way. I was talking to a man, well, listening to a man talk this morning. Most of y'all know, I know y'all have breakfast here, and I'm not opposed to eating with y'all, and I don't mind, but I'm going to eat so much. The older I get, the less it gets all the time. I joke with my wife, I say, one of these days we'll be stopping, getting us a bird seed and cracking it in half, and you'll get half of it, and I'll get the other half. We'll leave so full we can't hardly function. That's just a joke, though. Anyway, you know what? I lost my thought again. I thought in that commercial, and then I lost my thought. Oh, yeah. I like eating with my son every Sunday morning. We don't hardly get together. But there's a lot of people inside that restaurant, I don't know why, on Sunday morning, that are church-going people, God-fearing. And I know Brother Dow made a statement. Brother Talley's not here, but Brother Talley let me go to Houston with him 2-3 years ago. Brother Dow was up talking. He said the heat is going to get so hot on these mountains out here that it's going to melt the snow off these mountains, and people are going to see what these religious systems are really made out of. And the point that man trying to change the Ten Commandments is such an example. He did something else that I thought was kind of silly. Anyway, but there was this older man that walked in this restaurant this morning. He was walking on a walker, real slow. He was by himself. And I can't stand eating by myself. If if they ever tie me up and gag me where I can't talk and make me eat by myself, that'd be the ultimate torture right there. I can't stand that. But this man was by himself. And I seen him, I said, good morning to you. And he looked at me. He said, good morning. And he sat down at the table right beside us. And I said, have you had a good day or a good week? And the man was harder hearing than I am. You folks know, he was harder hearing than me. And he said, huh? I repeated it 2 or 3 times. He finally understood. I said, oh, yeah, had a good week. And so got to talking to him, found out he was an old retired Assembly of God preacher. And he started talking, telling his stories, about how God had done things for him. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The man couldn't help it. If it's inside, it's going to come out. And I had to slip over and sit down at the table with him. I wanted to hear these stories. And so I asked him, I said, what do you think about this move that this man just made about changing the Ten Commandments? He started through the Bible. And I thought for a little bit that maybe he didn't hear me. But he finally put it all together and wrapped it up. He said, we're in the last days. It's pretty obvious. He put it all together. I said, you're right. And still yet, even with that, what I had heard last year when they was talking about the 4th of July holiday coming up and how it was the attitude, Brother Weininger, that made this country an established country. The point he was making, it's an attitude. And he made the statement, he said, us Christians are in trouble. Well, I don't look at it like that. I don't think us Christians are in trouble. I don't think people that's walking with God is in trouble. I think people that's not walking with God is in trouble. These people that are taking an alternate lifestyle, somehow or another, if we can't reach them people, there's a dead-end street down there, and they're going to find it. We're not in trouble. And that story of that fellow that went in that church and killed them people, I listened to that, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, them people he killed are in better shape than he is. And my sister Holly and I was talking about it on the phone. She's, of course, she stated her opinion on what she thought, you know, about that man. And I told her, I said, Holly, that man's no worse than Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was one sorry piece of equipment. He was no good. He went around inside people's houses, dragging them out, torturing them, killing them. Yeah, that's right. People that had chose this way, that's why he was describing them. Yeah, and there you go. But you know, he was the one that was standing there when Stephen was stoned to death. Stephen didn't back down. Now, I really believe God really did talk to Stephen. And Stephen gave him a history lesson on what, on all the way through, all the way from Moses down to right then. And he told him about the one that was hung on the tree, and you did it. You did it. They didn't like that at all. Matter of fact, they disliked it. But Paul was one of the ones standing there, and they threw their coats at the feet of Paul. He was given consent to what they was doing. He was in better shape than they was in. Just like those people in that church are in better shape than that man to kill them. But what Stephen did that day, pricked, it must have made an impression on Paul. It must have. His name was Saul at that time. It must have. And you got to wonder, how many times did he go in there dragging them people out, seeing the conviction in their heart that they weren't willing to back down, like the three Hebrew children. I talked about them the other day. Them people weren't willing to back down. We don't have their names, but they didn't back down. Some of them died. A lot of them died for what they believed in. You know Paul was watching that, and you know when he laid down at night, shutting his eyes, he had to been thinking about that. You know, maybe some of the thoughts that he had was, these people are turning their back on what Moses gave us. Is there something to that? You know, you got to wonder if he wasn't thinking thoughts like that. And then when he was on the road to Damascus, Lord, Lord, you got to wonder if he was even there that day that Jesus was hung on the cross. It don't say anything about it. But he wasn't stupid. He was in on the loop. He had to be somewhere around when Jesus was hung up there. So then when he was riding down the road, riding down there, and that great light shone around him, off the beast. There he was laying on the ground. That bright light showing around him. Yeah, blinding him. And it heard that voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul, and Saul asked the question, Lord, who art thou? Yeah, you know it must have been a state of bewilderment. Really, you know, because all these thoughts he'd been thinking at night, what he had watched, and now here he was with that bright light showing around him. He thought he was right. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now, you got to wonder, what did he think then? Oh, he knew that man had just been hung on the cross. And here he's hearing this voice. And then he couldn't see. And they got him up off the ground. And Jesus told him what to do. You got to wonder, what was he thinking? No matter how slow that mule traveled, his mind must have been going 100 miles an hour. He's thinking, have I been on the wrong side of the fence? He can't see naturally, but his eyes are being opened spiritually. He's going along thinking, have I been on the wrong side of the fence? Can you imagine the guilt? My Lord. Oh, all these people he had hurt and killed and tortured before he killed them, maybe. Then he got down there and he sat for 3 days. Couldn't see. He had lots of time to think. What was that man's name that healed him? Ananias. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. He told him, he said, go down there and heal him. And Ananias argued with God. He said, now, Lord, in case you hadn't heard. Oh, no. This might not be a good move here. Yeah. What are you trying to tell me? Go down there and turn myself into this guy? Oh, he's there, probably down there waiting on me. He probably already knows about me. But God told him, he said, I've called him for a special purpose. Now, you got to think about this. Here's this guy that killed all these people. You might say, oh, that guy, they ought to, yeah, I mean, the list is endless what they ought to do to him, you know. I mean, here's these people, all they wanted to do was right. You know, why would they be in Bible study of all places, you know? You know they wanted to learn more about God. That's why they was there. Here's this Yahoo in there with the full intent that was not righteous. You got to wonder, did he even hear anything in there? Maybe, I'm not saying, I don't know. You know, I'm just looking at what Paul did and what this guy's done. And they may kill him, or they may throw him in jail. Who knows what they might do to him. But he might be, you know, an apostle. You know, I thought about that. I thought, man. And then I thought, well, how would I feel if this guy killed people I knew? You know, they talk about the thorn in the flesh that Paul had. I don't know for sure. It's just a theory on my part. I'm thinking that thorn in the flesh was all them people that disliked him because of what he did. But that's just a theory now. I don't know. But I thought about that. I said, God, we've got to learn how to forgive people, love people. And, you know, even if people, let's be honest. We've kind of all fallen in love with each other, have we not? Don't we kind of love one another most days? You know, we're fixing to have this meeting, and we'll get a chance to know each other even better. You know, if something happened to one of you folks, it's like my own brother up here, you know, my spiritual brother too. You know, I would have hard feelings. I'd have to get on my knees and pray. You know, like with this deal with Sister Watson. I prayed for her and prayed for her, and I got faith, and I believe God. I know God can heal her. But then what, you know, and I've had feelings about that. You know, so if someone killed one of y'all, you know, I think there would be a battle inside of me like that one Paul talked about, you know, that I would do, I do not, and that I do not, I would, I do it anyway. You know, I say, God. And then if I met this guy out in the woods, nobody there but him and me. You know what I mean? Here I am looking at him and I'm thinking, you're the one that did that. And there's nobody around, no cameras, and I know I can get away with it. You see what I'm saying? It's a fight inside. And I'm thinking, God, you are going to help me. Sister Lynette was talking about she needed more God. I said, God, I need help. I need help. God, you know, I read about these people in the Bible, and we read about them, and we want to rub shoulders with them. We want to stand shoulder to shoulder with these people. But we got to develop that's inside to be able to do that. And I want that. And then in all these decisions they're making right now, I say, God, I need help. Lord, I got to learn how to love these people even though they stand for unrighteousness. They stand for everything that's opposed to what you want. That other thing I heard about. I'm sure y'all heard about that. Where somebody brought a lawsuit against a company that makes Bibles. You've heard about that? And they're wanting these people to take everything out of the Bible that's against that alternate lifestyle. Well, you know, why don't they just pull Moses up and talk to him about it, you know? Why don't they just pull Jesus up and say, hey, we're opposed to you, like Goliath did. I defy the armies of Israel. You know, I read that story and I thought, that's what they're doing. They're defying the armies of Israel. But David told Goliath, I know y'all, I'm sorry if I'm saying the same stories over and over, but David told Goliath, he said, You come to me with sword and spear. They got more money than we got. They got more talent than we got. They got more time than we got. Sword and spear. But David told him, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He said, in this day, I'm going to take your head from your shoulders. Can you imagine what Goliath thought? Well, this little twerp. You know, he's thinking, I'll feed you to my birds. In other words, you're nothing but chicken feed. That's what he thought about him. And David told him, he said, this day, everybody will know that there's a God in Israel. Here we are. We're spiritual Israel. There is a God in Israel. There is one. I love him. I appreciate him. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. And I think that fire inside of us should get hotter and hotter, hotter and hotter, brighter and brighter. You know, and we won't be able to help it. We will not be. Even if we're quiet, we'll walk into a room and people will feel. They'll feel it. There's somebody here, like Jesus, when that woman came to him and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, Jesus said, who touched me? They were pressing him on every side. And they said, Lord, what's wrong? You know, like, what's wrong with you? They're pressing you on every side. He said, somebody touched me. That's the way it's going to be with us. Rooms will be full of people. And we'll walk in there all by ourselves. And people will know there's somebody here. There's somebody here. We'll say, that's right. Jesus is here. He walked in when I walked in. We represent Jesus. Paul said, I fight toward the goal where I can say, henceforth it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It won't be us. It wasn't David. It wasn't Paul. You know, it was Jesus. And that's the way it's going to be with us. I say we don't have to be afraid. The three Hebrew children weren't afraid. We don't have to be afraid either. They didn't care if they died, because they were just walking through a door. They was headed for a country. Yeah. That's the way it's going to be with us. We're going to a country. We don't have to be afraid. And there ain't no need in me being mad at nobody if they kill you. I know that. Because they just opened the door so you could walk through. God's good. He's our best friend. Who was it? Was it Elijah that his servant was scared because they were surrounded? Or was it Elisha? Elisha. He said, Lord, open my servant's eyes. He opened his eyes and he found out there's more on their side than there was on the enemy's side. There's more on our side than there is on theirs. Thank God. I feel so good to be here today. I feel so good. You know, I can sit here and enjoy that wonderful, wonderful peace. And you know, we're getting ready for this meeting coming up. These young people coming in here, I think we are, we should glean from them. But we should give them something to take home too. Because we got it. They got it too. I know they got it too. But we get together, we can have that holy convocation. Get together, lift God's name. When we leave this meeting, every one of us leave here lifted up, ready to go out there and fight the enemy. Another day, another mile, another week, the rest of our life, actually. But, of course, it don't hurt to get together every time we get a chance. It don't hurt. God is good. I'm sorry if I bore you people when I get up. I get to thinking about this going down the highway, and I think, wow. You know, God is good. He is our best friend. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be scared, people. We don't have to be. We don't have to be. We can hold up that torch. When them people look at us and say, you got one more chance, we can just tell them, we don't need one more chance. We've done made up our mind. Hallelujah. Amen.
I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. Oh, I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. Change me.
I want more of Jesus.
Than ever had before.
This great love, so
rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me.
I want
more of Jesus,
more and more and more.
I want more of Jesus than ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus,
more and more and more.
Feel like you've been to church today? Yes. Feel like you've gotten something from the Lord?
Yes.
In the words of Brother Smith, if you don't, your feeler is broke. But you know what? Even with that, I know a man who can fix it. How about you? I know a man, if there's any issues with your feelers, if there's any issue with your heart, he's the best heart surgeon around. He can take care of every situation, every trial, every test. The thing is, he even knows when not to fix it. When we need that. When we need that pressure, as it was talked about today downstairs in the Bible study, when we need to feel that pressure on us to move us forward. You know, Bridget's a 11-month-old, and we're letting her go through her stages. I'm sure not trying to rush her. But there's some times when, we're standing her up. We're helping her up a little bit. We're holding on to her, and we're walking her forward. And that's what God does a lot with us. But you know what? Eventually, we got to let go. We got to let go, and she's going to start to walk on her own 2 feet. She's going to be walking by herself. That's how God works with us. He's a smart father. He's an all-knowing father. He knows how to take care of us in every situation. no matter the trial, no matter the test, no matter what mountain is before us, God will see us through. And Sister Holly, I was thinking about what you said about the grain of a mustard seed, and this it came on me about, let me take you to Jeremiah. My mind was on Jeremiah today anyway, but I believe it's Jeremiah 17. So you were talking about that grain of a mustard seed and how we don't have much faith. But let me take it from a different angle, okay? We have faith. It's just, what do we have it in? Where is our faith today? You know, there are scientists and people in this world that sometimes I believe they have a stronger faith in evolution than some Christians do in God, because they're putting all their belief in that system, in that ideology, in that doctrine, if you will, in that theory. That is their God. They have faith. It's just in the wrong place. We have that faith. It's just, what is it in today? I want to look in my own life and say, where is my faith really at, God? Because I've got that faith. That faith is deep down inside. It's just, where am I focusing it? Brother Painter mentioned a couple of nights back, I can't remember what service it was, about being single, you know, not being double-minded, having the eye, if the eye is single, if we had that focus in the correct way. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I've got to have my focus the right way. I've got to have my faith focusing the right way. In Jeremiah 17 and 5, this right here, this is those scientists. This is me. I'm going to put this on me whenever I have my faith in the wrong place. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man. We'll put in there woman too. Cursed be the person, the man, that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Well, we know in this group of people, who is the arm of the Lord? Jesus. It's Christ that's the arm of the Lord and the hand of the ministry that's used by God. But this says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. See, whenever I put my faith in the wrong place, when I depend upon my job to the point of, I've got money in the bank. You know, isn't there another place, I think, in Christ that relates to us about a parable where a man has filled up his barns and he's thinking about building more barns because, boy, I'm just keep getting all this stuff. And he doesn't know that very night is his last night. He was trusting in those goods. He had his faith based somewhere else and not in God, not in what God can do. That's where I don't want to be cursed like this man we're talking about here. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. Sister Holly, you struck a tone with me when you were talking about, and Sister Stewart as well, about when you get, you know, as far as with her, she's changing her lifestyle in relation to, she's working now. I should say she's always been working, but she's now working in the public. And the time element, prioritizing. Where do I put my time? And my mind's been going, there's been so much. Let me tell you, and Sister Tally's not here because she would amen me. And she knows, because every time she sees me at potluck, she's like, oh, you're trying to be a perfect overcomer. Because we all know that potluck, that's a pretty good impersonation, come on. That potluck is not necessarily one of those things that I really appreciate. But let me just say this, let me backtrack a little bit more. That last potluck, that was on. Let me just tell you, whoever organized that one, ooh, I want to lift your hands up. I enjoyed that last potluck. Anyway, but this service has been a lot like that. Different ones, there's been connecting. So we've had some good meat served. We've had some vegetables and starches and desserts, and it has mingled very well together. But that's where my mind's been going as far as the different elements that's been brought up here. But I don't want to get off here on my potluck, but getting my mind, getting our focus, getting our faith the right way. Spending that time with God, not letting other things take that priority. Okay? We often talk about the do's and don'ts, right? We think about that. But Sister Cindy, let me ask you this. Not many years back, when Brother Michael Smith was a wee young lad and was looking your way and smiling and trying to win your heart, did you think about, okay, well,
I got to think about the do's and don'ts. Or will you just, you know what? What's he like? What's his likes? What's his dislikes? You wanted to know because you were wanting to get his attention. He wanted to know because he wanted to get your attention. Was it a stressful thing? Was it all about, oh, I got to put the check marks? No, because you were after his heart and he was after yours. When I was seeking after Chelsea, it was the same way. No one was making me do that. It wasn't about a letter of the law, but I wanted a relationship. I wanted to know her more intimately as far as for in my life, for the two of us to have a different relationship. And that's all that God wants with us is a relationship today. And it's not about do's and don'ts, but it's about what does my Heavenly Father want? What can I do to get closer to Him? What can I do to lift Him up today? How can I praise Him a little bit more? Because He's worthy of all praise. Because this world, they've got their gods. This world has got their, and they're shoving it in our face today. It's so, like Charlie and Sister Stuart were saying, that it's so much in your face today. Well, you know what? Brother Paul, I'm not going to have the wrong attitude. Like you said, I have to have a spirit of love for the human. Now, I don't have to love their sin. I have to love them as Christ loved when he said, you know, well, first off, for God so loved the world. You know, that's a very, it's, I won't say overused, but it's a scripture that's said over and over and over and over and over. But think about that. God, the Father, creator of all, loved humanity in its most depraved state enough to give his only begotten Son. That perfect sacrifice for you and I, who had a death sentence on our head, he gave Christ for us. That's the kind of love that I have to have in my heart. That kind of love, a willing to die even though they're in the wrong. Because what I'm doing by dying, by those people that died, when you said about the people that Saul persecuted, and then when Stephen died before him, those were little things in the back of his mind where they could start to plant those seeds of, there's another way. Something's not right with this. So that when Christ did strike him down, that he was able to listen. Because there's people in this world that they can be struck down and they will get more bitter. What happened with Pharaoh? What happened with him? He continually hardened his heart. Why? Because he didn't have a relationship with the one true God. That one true God is just as alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. He's our God, and he is worthy of all praise, and I've got to remember where to keep him in my heart. Okay, so let's look at this man right here. So, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now, it tells a little bit more about him. It says what's going to happen. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Man, that just sounds like a pretty horrible place to be. It's dry. There's nothing there. There's no life. There's nothing that can sustain you. But let's look at the person who has learned how to focus that faith that they do have inside toward God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Brother Smith's going to be talking more about the fruits and the roots. These are the kind of roots we want. Roots by the river. That river of life flowing. Flowing. Okay, we don't want it to be by a stagnant pond. We don't want a semblance of righteousness or of religion. We want the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We want that rich, unadulterated, what Jude said, to earnestly contend for. The faith. That's what we're looking out for. That's what we're holding to. If you've got any bit of truth, you hold to it without any, you don't think about anything else. That's what's most important. But shall inhabit, let me go on down to the, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then look at the next verses that come. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now stop right there. Now we were talking, and I appreciate it as well. And you know what? I'm not worried about Brother Caleb Stewart or Brother Joseph Thompson. If their heads get a little big, my God's big enough. He knows also how to humble as well. But I'm going to say, they were talking about taking a stand. Okay? They may not have had to necessarily say take a stand, but they were talking about taking a stand on righteous principles. Okay? In putting into action roots that build fruits. Okay? You're going to get fruit from the labors right there. From those roots that you have grounded in the Word of God, you're going to have something come forth. Okay? Well, over in... in Ephesians, this all goes right here. So we've heard about the gifts of the ministry and the purpose of the gifts. And I just wanted to leave this with you as far as, let's start with Ephesians 4 and 12. We've just talked about the apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and a perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, now look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what we have to take a stand against. When we're putting those things in our heart, the righteous principles, okay? When we are learning how to be aware of and guarding our heart, okay? Keeping our focus on God, keeping that faith in Him, we're able to guard our heart and not let somebody tell you, you don't have to be on church on Wednesday night. You don't have to be in church. What's that about? What's that about, Brother Paul? Meeting together with God's people is not important. See that right there? That's those winds of doctrine. Don't just think that that's someone getting behind a pulpit. This world has got many doctrines. This world has got many teachings, and they're perverting every good truth out there and turning it to nothing. It's up to us to have eyes to see and ears to hear and understand what is truth and what's a lie. So when you're being told that, brother, I appreciate you taking a stand on the Word of God and saying, you know what, maybe you don't need that, but I need church 7 days a week. I need to meet with God every single day. I need to go to get some glory where that spout is, lift my hands up, and feel that wonderful Spirit of God flowing over me again. I need it to break up that ground. As we're talking about roots and fruits, it's about keeping that ground. God has been dealing with me about gardening. I can't stand it. I'm being honest, okay? But there's so much to be learned from it and applied back to God. It's why this is used. I'm gonna confess some sins here today before you. And they weren't intentional, all right? They weren't. They were sins of omission. 3 weeks went by. Sickness, lots of rain. That's on him, not on me. All right? Vacation, but my yard, my front yard, my backyard was like a safari jungle, okay? When we looked, it was like, I know I've got a 6-foot fence back there, but I just don't see it. And you think I'm exaggerating. I didn't take pictures, so you don't know. But my front yard. You know, you got those, and I just think I'd love to just concrete it all, and I'd be happy. But there's areas that you've got the little, I don't even know what they're called, where you got plants in front, right at the beginning of your house. Flower beds, yes, cursed be their names. But, okay, so right there in these flower beds, all right? My father-in-law, not too long back, because he actually has a green thumb, and I inherited my black one from my mother. Plants see me, and they're like, no, no. So, it's true too. So, isn't that right, Mom? Say, okay. She killed a plastic plant. How do you do that? It's not a lie. It is not a lie. Oh, cactus too. Anyway, we cleared out that whole area. It looked really great. We found a plant that's supposed to be indestructible. It says, "Will survive Phil." I was like, that's the one. So it's there, and it's still there. It's good. But there were some weeds that grew up over that long period of time that, believe it or not, they actually looked like they belonged there. They were that tall. But they, I mean, and seriously, one was, I don't know, 4 foot tall. And that was interesting. I didn't do a single thing about putting them there. I didn't plant it. I didn't water it. I didn't fertilize the ground for it. It grew there without anything, without me doing a single thing. And then it started to look like it was a part because it had an appearance of a tree. It was a weed, but it looked like something right. It took me getting in there and getting on my knees and pulling it out and digging through that dirt and getting all those weeds out so the real life could grow. I had to get humble enough to say, God, help me. Help me to get these weeds out of my life. Help me, Lord, to get them out. If I'm not careful, they'll grow up. I don't have to do a single thing about it. They're coming my way every day with sleight of hand, with men trying to twist around the Word of God. I've got to be vigilant. You have to be vigilant. Say, no, not my heart. My heart is His alone. My focus, my faith is on God above. And I'll not let anyone put weeds in my garden. Guard your heart so that when we get these words of truth and the seeds of truth are thrown out there by men of God, that they're able to take root. And they're not strangled out by those weeds. A lot like when you look at the parable of sowers. And the third, when it talks about the thorny ground. What happened to those good plants as they started to grow? They took root. They started to grow. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what did it do? It killed them. It killed them. It choked them out. God, help me to have my focus on You. Lord, it's not about the do's and don'ts, but it's about my relationship. God, let me guard my relationship. It's not a, oh, I've got to read the Word of God because Brother Smith told me to. It's, I need to read the Word of God because I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about what to expect. I'm so thankful to have been given this opportunity to hear these words of truth over these years. To not have to have a fear, Brother Paul, in my heart today when I start to see these things, but to have a rejoicing and saying, you know what? That's all right. The more sin raises, the more God raises. The more this world gets evil, the more God's grace is abounding. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for that vision. Oh, God, to be a part of the blessed Bride of Jesus Christ. And desperately wicked, who can know it? Back in Jeremiah 17. But look, here's the answer. The only answer. I was thinking as we were praying, there aren't any answers in this world. There's only one answer, and it comes from above, and that is God in the form of Christ our Savior, coming to help us through that blessed Holy Ghost. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the what? The fruit of his doings. According to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So if I'll get down on my hands and knees, and that was someone else you had mentioned, you said you want to rub shoulders with those men of old. Do you know the way we're going to rub shoulders with those men of old? There's only one way. When we're on our knees and our faces down and we're humble before the Lord, because that's where they were. They had their eyes and their heart set toward Him as a flint. God, have mercy, Lord. Lord, I want to have a closer walk. When Sister Stewart was talking, more and more. I want more and more. I want to have more of a hunger for Him. More of a thirst for Him. Because if you ever been, I don't know, you just came from a Mexican buffet line, not an Asian buffet line, because I leave there and I'm still hungry. It's just the rice just doesn't fill me up, okay? But I go and I've eaten enchiladas and Mexican fried rice and refried beans and sopapillas and cheesecake, and I'm walking away there thinking, it's a good thing I wore my stretchy pants today. They've got those for men too. That's an awesome gift. And I'm walking away. Now, you could show me the most beautiful tiramisu or chocolate cake or cheesecake of every type, and I would not want to taste it. It would, matter of fact, it'd almost make me sick. Why? Because I'm full. I'm full. But if I can always have that hunger in my heart for God, when I come through those doors, but before I ever get to those doors, before I get to that parking lot, I want to be ready. Lord, what have you got today? Lord, how can I help to serve your people? How can I help to lift the hands of the ministry? How can I help to walk one more step closer to you? That's the heart I want to have. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We have got a wonderful opportunity in, what did you say, Brother Durham? 10 days, somewhere in that neighborhood, give or take, before the youth meeting. There are going to be young men and women come through those doors, and they're going to be at crossroads. There's going to be some that are on fire for the Lord. There's going to be some that are coming for the James and the Joes. There's going to be some coming in here that don't know why they're even here. But let me tell you, when they come in here to the house of the Lord, they can get something and they can leave a different person. They can leave on fire for the Lord. Because this world, if we don't provide that atmosphere to them, this world is going to spit them, chew them up and spit them out. But there's peace and safety in here today. Right, folks? Right, saints? So I really appreciated, let me tell you, I've really appreciated the testimonies, being led of the Lord, everyone getting up and seeking after Him, the spirit we felt. It's been a wonderful blessing. Wonderful blessing. So I know we've got this is dinner day. Hallelujah. So hey, I'm overcoming, all right? I've been to the last whatever, how many of our potlucks we've had. I have been there. So I'm trying, okay? Yes, thanks to my wife. She's my helpmeet, whatever. But we've got dinner day today, so we got plenty downstairs. It's ready right now, so let's go ahead, Brother Painter.
Just want to let everyone know that Wednesday night after service, we'll need all the help we can get to move the tables and chairs off of the dining room floor Wednesday night after service, so that we can strip and wax the floor Friday night and Saturday. The dining room will be off limits Friday night and Saturday. So please keep that in mind. Then Thursday night in this building, there will not be any power for a few hours while we're working on the electric for the AC install. So also keep that in mind. And then, of course, we have a work day Saturday. And we have scuff marks and things like that around the building that'll need to be tended to. So everyone, young or old, these children, young people, there's work for them to do here on Saturday in advance of our youth meeting. And there'll be some work around the building also, even outside, for anyone that's looking to throw in and help us out with that.
All right, so we've got a lot coming up for us. It's an exciting time, definitely. This church is going to be packed out very soon, and we'll have an extra air conditioner. Thank you, Lord. So everybody be prepared, get ready. Let's be thinking about it, praying, fasting about it. Do we know the Lord? Do we really know the Lord? I want to know Him more than I do today. I want to know Him more tomorrow and the next day. I want to grow each and every day. Let's go ahead and stand. There's no other announcements.
Brother, I'm sorry. There's also Sister Ann Thompson is wanting to meet with the staff, the kitchen and dining room staff, after dinner today. And I don't know if Sister Cindy Smith's also wanting to meet with her staff after dinner today at the same or thereabouts at the same time. I think that was the only other announcements.